This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Sergeant Arms will restore order in the chamber. Sergeant Arms will restore order in the chamber, please.
So protesters talk about health care. Health care is going nowhere as far as the vote is concerned. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. And that's what the score is. It's a score of you ain't got the vote. So the Senate Republicans plan to repeal and replace Obamacare ain't moving anywhere. Not happening. Didn't get enough votes. Didn't happen. The vote was 43 in favor, 57 against. 9 Republicans voted against the measure. So how about that? John McCain, it was great to see him back on the floor after his surgery, looking pretty decent. But we know that he's a ticking time bomb. Allegedly. It'd be great if he wasn't. But this is the same thing that Ted Kennedy had. So we'll see where that ends up. A lot of people coming out to give him a hug and a word of support. And he did look really good. He looked really, really good. One of the things that's being discussed over and over and over and over again, in fact, I'm sure you can find that almost in any dial, is Jeff Sessions and whether or not the Attorney General gets the boot. He will not resign. So he picked him. And that's it. Trump spoke about his recent criticisms of Session during a joint White House press conference with the Lebanese prime minister. He pointed to the recusal. He pointed to leaks. He pointed to intelligence agencies as reasons why he's very disappointed with Sessions. And he said he shouldn't have recused himself almost immediately after he took office. If he was going to recuse himself, he should have told me prior to taking office. So now Sessions is digging in, and Trump is kind of waiting to get the backing he needs in certain areas for some bailouts, defectors, all of that, and he hasn't really seen too many. Hasn't really seen very many. Right at the top, because we sometimes throw you a curveball or two, can you imagine they found this couple frozen in the Alps after 75 years? A Swiss couple disappeared from their farm in the Alps during the war. They finally been found 75 years later, mummified. In one way poignant, in one way creepy. Creepy. But you have to look at the pictures. Go to whatever search engine you have and eventually look at it. But they were hiding out. Whoever they were, that's obviously what was happening. They vanished in 1942. They were declared dead after so many years. And then they're found. Wow. That has to bring up so many questions with not a lot of answers. To some, horrifying. To others, fine. You don't have to answer this. Great. Because we're so tired of having to do that. Pick up pieces after everything's already blown out there. As we kind of motor down the road to hitting the mailbag, Forbes books at bedtime, and a slew of other discussions, the healthcare nugget that we've been talking about since I've been on the air struck a chord with some of you. This, not too much of this was in the mailbag. I got this one from Nathan. No, a different Nathan, by the way, I believe. And Nathan says, what's up with the people in the eating contest? It floors me to watch the Coney Island thing. I think it's so crazy to see them swallowing all that food for what? They need the publicity. They need an agent. They need attention. But it seems very strange to me. That was one of the sort of half notes that I got. The other note that I got was run from John. who said, looking at the end of the ACA is so crummy, is so unconscionable. And that was what that those protests were about. They were protesting that they couldn't believe that that many, and that there were that many in the chute, if you know what I'm saying. They just could not believe it. Couldn't believe it. If I were Donald Trump and I was wrestling with this question of Jeff Sessions, I think I would have to just, I would have to pull the plug. I would have to say, if we're instituting all these things and we're trying to make some big changes, you can't expect that one thing is incredibly great for the whole group, because it just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't, right? So we've got the whole Russia probe happening. We have Jeff Sessions kind of sitting there mugged-faced. We have the president being told, feel free to have any of anybody reach out. And then you have these unbelievable rock stars, generous people that send you emails, beg to come, want to speak, want to do whatever. And I give them huge, huge credit for that. Huge credit. Here's a wild curveball for you at the top. Vanity Fair did a thing on the New York Times atmosphere, poisonous and restructuring, and, you know, people are running for cover, especially when it comes to the simplicity of sometimes the extra. And I think for at least some of the people on the roster, it means they'll dive into it, is what it means. Does that sound confusing? If it sounds confusing, I'm sorry. It's not meant to be confusing. It's not meant to do that. Crazy, crazy times, my friends. And if you watch Shark Week and you live in Florida and you're listening to us, you're not going to want to watch Shark Week. Because that's what happens. You think you have an idealized version of what life should look like. And, of course, that would disappoint anyone, wouldn't it? Of course it would. That's the answer. Of course it would. Definitely. Thanks to Andy from the Me group for coming on the show with us. Also, Christine Cashin for throwing in her two. For all of you tolerating us, embracing us, sending us incredible emails. Still, for some, it was an end-to-end holiday weekend. Now, you got to be into that travel stuff. If you're not, oh, it's horrifying. And then I got some emails from former students from a long, long time ago who liked the idea of adopting a specific kid, but it's not usually what the procedure is, if that makes any sense. I got a note here from William, and he says, Kate, I love it. It's kind of stream of consciousness, and it works. That's what I say. The Easter egg on the way down to wearing a special hat. Very, very cool. All right, enough of my shenanigans. Hang through. Some great stuff coming your way next on ATN.
Something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
And membership is only $9.95.
Yep. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. You got it?
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
If there's a toxic chemical biological gas smoke emergency while traveling at home or on your job, are you protected? Are you prepared? There are over 400,000 fires in the USA every year. Up to 85% of all deaths in a fire are due to smoke inhalation. 3 minutes without air and we as humans will die. Be prepared and escape safely with our Safe Escape smoke hoods, giving you up to 60 minutes of breathable air protection. Order yours online at ase-safety.com. That's ase-safety.com. And get up to 40% off plus free shipping.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Mailbag for America Tonight is full, full, full. Thank you so much. If you have any thoughts on the show or you want to tell me about something amazing happening in your neck of the woods, go to americatonight.net, click on contact, and bada-bing, you are in. So let's dive on it. This one is from Jack, and Jack says, Kate, I'm horrified by what happened in Tennessee with yet another child dying in a hot car. What is wrong with people? How do you leave a two-year-old in a car overnight? Of course they were arrested, that couple, and on felony murder charges. You can't bring that child back, and how awful of a death. I think these two were in their 20s, if I read correctly, and I'm wondering your thoughts on it. Well, my thoughts are the same as yours. It's horrific. And the fact that, I mean, how do you do that? That's child neglect, and that's one of the things that they're charged with. First-degree murder, aggravated child neglect, murder committed in the perpetration of aggravated child abuse. That's why they're putting all that in there. And they're held with, you know, this $250,000 bond, and there's no court date set. But what happened, if you remember this case, is they found the son at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon after one of the parents called 911, said they had left him. They said what happened. They left him in the car overnight. And into the afternoon, of course, the temperatures were high, up to like 90 degrees. So, again, how do you leave a child in a car overnight? It was very strange because it's when the story first came out, that it was reported that it was the home where the kid was found was outside the mayor's home. And so the mayor's daughter had been living in the house with her husband and their small son, and that was, I think, part of what this story is. And what people are saying is, neighbors, oh, they seem like good parents, they both worked, they had different shifts, so they could take care of them, the woman was friendly, and I just go back to the same thing. You have a child, how is it possible that you leave them in the car? And they say, and this is a wild statistic, I just saw this, that 37 kids die from being locked inside a hot car in the U.S. every single year. I mean, you just can't leave kids in the car. You have to, you know, you have to warn kids about playing. That sometimes happens around cars. And, you know, just, I mean, again, an awful, awful story. All right, let's go on to another one. This one is from Brian, and Brian says, "Hello, Kate. I've been listening to the show for a long time. I know sometimes people say that, but it's really, really true. I heard you talking about the people who came to the country illegally that were part of that human trafficking deal, and you're right. It is grim. It is sick. It is awful, and it shows you the reality of human trafficking and some of what goes on and what, first of all, too, immigrants are willing to do to take their lives really at stake when they're trying to evade our border laws. But what a horrific situation. Yeah, this was in San Antonio. It was a tractor trailer that was in a Walmart parking lot. And it does happen more than we even can imagine. It used to be rare, but that's many decades ago. And so they arrest the driver, and you've got these smugglers who coordinate, apparently, with a lot of crime rings, and the whole idea is they come up with these tractor trailers. That's a common way to transport these immigrants, and I guess it's expanding, and it's pretty overwhelming, and it shows you that, you know, look how many people they can cram in. They were told that there's like 70 people at one time, and because they can make a lot of money doing this. And I saw one of the people that survived the truck. I saw an interview with him. He said he was weak and he had no liquids, and he looked around him and there were people that were dying, and it was, you know, terrible. And then he was asked about why did he take the trip, and isn't it a dangerous trip? And he said he needed money. He wanted to be with family members on the other side, and that's why he did it. And, yeah, it's, he said there was no work. It's hard. You have to make that kind of a decision, and it's terrible. And as I said, this is San Antonio, and this is typically what's happening with human trafficking. I mean, yeah, just crazy. All right, let's move on to another one. This one is from Ellen in Washington. She says, Kate, I don't know if you saw this or not, but in the great state of Washington, and it's a story a lot of people are talking about, people have to put their cell phones down. Did you know that? Because that whole distraction thing, I've heard you talk about distracted driving before. Yeah, there's this. Thank you for pointing that out, Ellen. There is a new law, and the idea is exactly what she said, is to discourage distracted driving. And how do you do that? Well, you can't hold any kind of an electronic device, even when you're stopped in traffic. And what they decided is, you know, because they passed a texting ban a long time ago, like other states have, some have. And once again, they think, okay, we've seen with these accidents what happened. They specifically pointed to a couple where the girlfriend died when her car was hit by a distracted driver. And some others died in the crash, too, because there were, this has also happened, where there were people that were posing for photos, and nobody was paying attention to what was happening. Somebody was taking a selfie, and they lost control of the car. So now this Washington state law makes it illegal for a driver, and some of you can certainly call in and tell us about that, but it makes it illegal for a driver to hold, like I said, an electronic device, even when they're stopped at an intersection at a light or whatever. So the fines start at like $136 for the first offense, then it's $234, all that kind of stuff. And of course we know distracted driving has caused a lot of deaths and crashes. And the statistic that I found from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration was this one from 2014, where 3,179 people were in crashes, were involved in them because of distractions. And that's pretty high, and they say it's one of the most important things that's out there that's happening, that seems to be ramping up, that nearly 30% of drivers surveyed just a couple years ago admitted going to the internet while driving, compared to 13% in 2009. So we've seen a jump up, and of course that's mostly texting, but it could be anything else, checking your phone for messages, you know, whatever. I've said this before, and I've done this. I just did it last week. Somebody was trying to get a hold of me. I had to wait for the call. I had to go do something. I went to go do it. And guess what I did? I pulled over into a parking lot. No big deal. I wasn't going to try to juggle the phone. I wasn't going to try to, you know, wait. No, it didn't make any sense. So that's what I did. It's very easy to do it. Very easy. But people just, they're foolish. They won't do it. You think you can get away with it. If you're the passenger, yes. If you're the driver, I hate to lecture people or tell people what to do, but I certainly don't want to be on the other end of that or anyone I know to be on the other end of that. All right, here's one from, this is just a funny one. This is one from Mary, who's listening to us in Portland, Oregon. Kate, I love listening to the show. I listen to KPAM. I've heard you give a shout out before. I wondered if you saw this story, because I heard you mention one time that you had a pair of Jimmy Choos. I think you were speaking somewhere, and maybe it was when you were talking with your husband in his segment. So, did you see the story about Michael Kors acquiring Jimmy Choo, and are you surprised by the amount? I guess I'm not surprised, but it was pretty high. Yeah, 1.35 billion high. That could be a we can count numbers thing for us. So, you know, you wonder about luxury markets, I guess, and that would be what it is. And Jimmy Choo put itself up for sale because they saw a drop in sales, so that's what happened. And it makes sense for another company, especially because they're more than just shoes. They're in a lot of other things, Michael Kors. And they, if you gobble up, you know, the shoes, then you would figure that would probably add to what their bottom line would be. I'm no retailer, however. I worked in retail only once when I got out of college and I was looking for jobs. And I was the manager of a clothing store. It was kind of like a Gap. It was called The Lodge. And, so I got to learn a little bit about retail. But, boy, it's a whole different deal when you're talking about price points and margins and predictability and what you're putting out. And it was kind of fascinating. It was just a short-lived deal. It was, you know, maybe 3 months before I got my fabulous start in the broadcasting world, which was television news. All right, so remember, just to send me your thoughts, americatonight.net. Click on contact and like that. Bada bing, you are in. Thanks for all the emails. Coming up next, Forbes Books at Bedtime.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Idling in our virtual green room, Pavlina Asta is with us, and I'm so excited, Greg, to talk to Pavlina because she's got her finger on the pulse of, yes, millennials, and apparently millennials know how to be happy. Maybe they're happier than you or I because you and I are not millennials.
Are you calling me old?
Well, you're older than me, but
I guess, yes, you're calling me old. I'm not a millennial either. So, Pavlina, what do you and your fellow millennials know about happiness that you can teach us older folks?
Yeah, so first of all, since I'm 19, I'm technically a Generation Z. Now, there's a lot of studies coming out about millennials and Generation Zs and how they're, you know, working and what they're doing, you know what I mean, to kind of find happiness and everything. And one of these studies that I thought was really interesting is Generation Zs, whereas millennials, you know, are different in this way, are buying luxury brands, and that is like how they're fueling their happiness, you know what I mean? So they're kind of, that's just sort of what they're doing, I guess, right now.
So they're trying or they are successfully buying happiness by buying luxury brands.
Yeah, exactly. They think they're trying to buy their happiness. So.
And how's that working out?
Oh, you know, it seems to be working. I don't think long term it's gonna keep working, but definitely, you know, right now it seems to be working for them.
And when you say luxury brands, are we talking clothes, cars, phones?
Yeah, it's like anything from purses, you know, Kate Spade, Alice and Olivia, what else is there? You know, any of those like big luxury brands. And it's actually really funny because I was just moving and I live in New York City and I was at like Marshalls or TJ Maxx or whatever. And I would love to see like how they're doing in comparison to other stores, because, you know, millennials and Generation Z obviously don't have any money or anything, you know what I mean? They don't have like big money, but they still want these luxury brands. So I'd love to see the comparison between, you know, like a Louis Vuitton store or something compared to like a Marshalls where they can get, you know what I mean? Like, I would love to see the comparison to that, because there's some other studies, like I was talking about before, that have come out where millennials have actually been killing off a lot of industries. So, you know, if they're not buying certain things, like, I would love to see the comparison between the two.
Well, I mean, one of the advantages that your generation has is that you are digital natives, you're highly tech savvy, and so you also probably understand, unlike older generations, that I don't have to go to the source where I'll pay more, the Louis Vuitton store. I can either wait or use the tools at my disposal, called a smartphone, to find exactly what I want at a much better price. And is that part of what you're seeing here, is that your generation are great bargain shoppers?
Exactly, which is kind of why, you know, what's really interesting, this is kind of like a side note, even Walmarts are dying off now, and because people are going to Amazon and finding those special prices, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I just thought that was fascinating. I was like, you can't kill off Walmart. What's happening? It's Walmart. But, yeah, a lot of these, like, bigger industries or these bigger brands are dying off because people are either, A, they're not going into the stores anymore. They're just buying everything online or digitally, and they want them for a cheaper price, but they still want the luxury brands or the higher quality things.
Do you think that earning money rank higher to millennials, to your generation, than having personal time, or no?
So what?
Which is more important, earning money or having more personal time?
Oh, gosh, I would probably have to say, like, just kind of based on, you know, from what I've observed and, like, what I've read through all the studies and everything, I would definitely say that they would rather, like, earn more money. They'd rather earn more money and then they could, like, spend it. You know what I mean? Like, they would just, like, want to spend it doing more things. They can go on more,
gotcha,
like, more vacations. So they
gotcha.
Can go on their social sites.
So it's, it's experiences. Millennials are famous for not wanting a bunch of stuff that other generations want, like we were just talking about, cars, houses, that kind of stuff. You're more interested in experience instead. Why is that?
I think, I think a lot of it is for appearance, which kind of, it totally ties back into wanting to have all those luxury brands. You know what I mean? So if you have all these experiences of, like, traveling around the world or doing cool things, it's just like, it's all about the appearance. You know what I mean? So when you're posting on your social sites and everything, and someone is, like, Instagram stalking you, they're like, oh my gosh, this person's traveled everywhere. Oh, they've done so many cool things. And it's just all a part of that, like, that appearance that they're giving off into the world, you know. But, oh, they also still have these nice, this nice handbag. Oh, she just got this. It's so cool. So I think millennials and Generation Z are extremely appearance-based, if that makes sense.
We're talking with Pavlina Osta. No, I'm going to say that again. We're talking with Pavlina Osta. It rhymes like pasta. Rhymes with pasta. And her website is PavlinaOsta.com. PavlinaOsta.com. And Pavlina, you're really a unique spokesperson in a way for these two generations, millennials and your generation as well, because you really discovered media, which is at the core of almost everything we're talking about. You really discovered it at a really early age. Tell us what you started doing in the world of media when you were as young as 11.
Yeah, so I'm kind of frazzled right now. Like I said, I live in New York, and I've been running back and forth between subways and stuff before this interview. I started in radio when I was 11, and I was in Florida, and I would do on-location interviews with celebrities, and it just kind of became like my little, like, hook or my niche or something, where I'd go around. I started just in Florida, so I would go all throughout Florida, and then I started going to Nashville and LA for red carpets, and then I'd go to New York every summer. And I started doing all these celebrity interviews, and it just kind of took off, and my show got nationally syndicated, so I've been doing this for a while.
Well, and it's interesting because we've been talking about how important the experience economy is to generations, the millennials, and then you're a member, you said, of a Generation Z, correct?
Yes.
Your experience of being on the radio as a young girl and now as an adult, your experience of interviewing celebrities, these are, in your generation's world, these are actually marketable, leverageable experiences in your life, and you're using them to continue to build your career. Most people don't have that kind of experience. Maybe they didn't start as young as you. But what advice do you have for others, whether they be millennials or not, about how to build a world of experiences around you so that, A, you have a great life to talk about at a party, and B, that might actually be good for your career?
Yeah, well, I think my thing is I've never said, like, no to anything. You know, anytime I'm given an opportunity or something, you know, I've always been like, yeah, I can do that. I can make it work. And I think that's just, like, so important. I think a lot of people are sometimes scared to get into something, or they're like, oh, I don't think that's very cool or whatever. Like, I can't even tell you how many times I was told how not cool it is to have a radio show at 11. They were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know. But I think if you just kind of shut out the haters and you just kind of do what you what you want to do, that's really important. And, you know, finding your passion early. Like, I was put into radio because I was playing my steel drums, and I was getting interviews by local radio stations. And this one radio manager was like, oh, you should start having your own show. And I was like, okay, there's an idea. So that's just how I got started. And I just kind of fell in love with it. I got bit by the radio bug, as a lot of people say. And I don't know. I think when you can find that passion, like, once, and, like, you have to think beyond, you know, just like the next year or something. Like, think the next 5 years, the next 10 years. Like, what do you want to be doing? I've always been a very much of, like, a thinking ahead kind of person. I think a lot of people should, you know, consider that.
Well, it's interesting to hear you talk about thinking ahead, because one of my questions for you, and this goes back to the whole idea of particularly with your generation, the Generation Z and millennials, so much of your world, I'm speaking generally of those two generations, exists in your phone. So it makes Amazon a natural way to shop, for instance. But when I'm wondering if you, and I'm asking you as a spokesperson for those generations, which is unfair of me to put that burden on you, but I will anyway, you know, when you think ahead, if your generation spends more and more money with Amazon and other online platforms, and at the same time, statistically, we know that these two generations increasingly want to live downtown in urban settings, what happens when all the stores and all the retail downtown are closed because all the retail dollars got spent on a phone with a company that's thousands of miles away? How do you see that set of issues resolving itself for your generation?
Right, and I'm definitely one of those people, like, of course, I understand millennials and Generation Z's so well, but I also, like, totally should have been born in, like, a completely different decade or something, because I feel like millennials and Generation Z's are extremely, like, in-the-moment kind of people, you know what I mean? We want that Snapchat that is, you know, 10 seconds, like, oh, what's happening right now? Like, that's what's happening. We want the Facebook Lives to document what's happening right now. We have Instagram stories, what's happening right now. We're posting every single day because it's what happened that day. They're very, like, in-the-moment kind of people, whereas I'm more of, like, what's today? I don't even know what today is. Like, what's happening tomorrow? As far as them financially, it's kind of scary, actually, just because, you know, they're spending so much money, and I'm at fault for this as well, for, you know, buying coffee every day, having to get that avocado toast. It definitely racks up, and I know a lot of millennials aren't even buying houses right now, so it's definitely going to be interesting, I guess, to say the least, with how, you know, all of these, like, there have been over 80 Macy's retailers, you know, that have gone out of business because everyone's buying stuff on Amazon now. You know what I mean? So, like, we're not going to have all these retail stores, or we're not going to have nearly as many coming up. And then even buying houses are being different because people can't afford them, and then they're in college debt. So millennials are just all kinds of financially interesting.
So let's go buy a purse.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
On that note, we got to wrap up. Pavlina Osta, thank you so much. You can check her out at pavlinaosta.com. We appreciate you. Thanks.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. That's 800-281-4224.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears, because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Pretty shocking, it was just a handful of days ago that Senator John McCain was diagnosed with brain cancer, and I know that that's been a conversation a lot of people are having, that they know somebody who had brain cancer, or, oh my gosh, what is this about, and what kind of surgery do you have to have, and whatnot. So who better to join us on the show than Dr. Philip Stieg, founder and chair of the Weill Cornell Medical Brain and Spine Center, and president of the Brain Tumor Foundation as well. And we could go on and on about Dr. Stieg's resume, and certainly this is his expertise. Dr. Stieg, I can imagine a lot of people were asking you about Senator McCain. So first of all, what kind of brain cancer was he diagnosed with?
He was diagnosed with what is the most common form of primary brain tumor, which is a tumor that originates in the brain that we see in the glial category. It's called a glioblastoma, and when we think about glial tumors, they're graded on a scale of 1 to 3, 3 being the worst, and his being a glioblastoma makes it a grade 3. So it's the most aggressive form of glial tumor that we have to deal with as neurosurgeons.
Yeah, and so when we hear that, and we kept hearing the word aggressive, what does that mean as far as surgery is concerned? What's typically what happens?
Well, typically what happens is once a diagnosis is made, then the protocol that we try to follow is an aggressive surgical resection followed by radiation therapy with concurrent chemotherapy. The extent of the resection is obviously dependent upon the size of the tumor and the location of the tumor. If the tumor is in what we refer to as eloquent brain, meaning the visual cortex, the speech cortex, or the motor cortex, then we're limited in regard to the extent of resection that we can perform, because this is a tumor that it's an infiltrative tumor and it sends little tentacles into the normal brain, and there isn't a real boundary. You don't know when you've reached the end of it. So there's a limit to how much we can resect.
Is this typical what you see? Because as you know, when he went in, when the senator went in, he was there to just remove a blood clot from above his left eye, and that's what they found.
It's not the most common presentation for this type of tumor. They are known to bleed, but more commonly they would present with either a seizure or with some neurologic deficit, again, dependent upon where the tumor is located.
Yeah, and when you actually do the surgery, you know, you and I have talked about the kinds of surgery that you can have. You talked about the surgery, of course, where often typically you're awake. In this kind of a surgery, would the person be awake?
Most probably he was not. I have not seen his scans, so I don't know exactly where the tumor is located. That being said, given the approach that they took, I suspect he was asleep, and they resected the tumor without him being awake. As we talked about earlier, the only times we really do awake surgery is when the tumor is located in those eloquent areas of the brain.
Yeah, and the reason you and I have talked about that before, the reason is, well, there's a couple factors. I mean, first of all, from the layman's terms, I think it's amazing that you do that, but it's because of speech, etc., so you can tell what's happening, right, by what you're doing
yeah.
back to the patient.
Right. The reason for doing the awake surgery is that we want to know exactly where we are in their brain, and while they're awake, we can test the function that we're worried about losing during the surgical procedure. So if the tumor were in his speech cortex or if it was in his motor cortex, we would most commonly do that awake.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. One of the things the doctor said is that McCain, with this aggressive tumor, he was oriented, he had good balance, he had no headaches, no seizures, that kind of stuff. And the senator is someone who's had other malignant melanomas removed a couple of times, I guess like three of them. And he gets a lot of these kind of screenings and whatnot. And this was a significant operation, obviously, as you know. And, you know, with the bone underneath the eyebrow had to be removed to do the procedure and then put back. Wow, why? I've never heard of that. That's typical? That's common?
It's a new approach that we use in neurosurgery. We commonly use the term minimal access or minimally invasive surgery. The reason for doing that is the recovery is faster, and he obviously had an exceptionally quick recovery. He was discharged from the hospital within 24 hours. So that's all beneficial for the patient. It also speaks to the fact, hopefully, again, I haven't seen the scans, that the tumor was caught early and that it was small and contained within the hemorrhagic or the bleeding area that they found.
Yeah, one of the things that I read, and also you would know this too, the mortality rate, but one of the things I read is there were some statistics from a study that was done back in 2009, and the study said that almost 10% of patients with that live maybe 5 years or longer, and this is from the American Brain Tumor Association. Again, Lena, looking at mortality rates, of course, who knows, but is that typical too as well?
Yeah, as I said earlier, this is the most aggressive type of tumor that we deal with. We don't use the word cancer because it doesn't spread to other parts of the body, but unfortunately it's in your brain, and as it continuously recurs, the average survival is 14 to 16 months overall. Again, having hopefully caught it early, and if he is a good responder. There are also a number of molecular markers that we use now, and those are predictors for long-term prognosis. So hopefully he has all the appropriate markers, and he will respond to the radiation and the chemotherapy.
Yeah, and you said this in the beginning, too, with the radiation and the chemotherapy. What's the typical course for that for most people? Because as we're discussing how aggressive it is.
Most people will go, we would wait after the surgery, wait several weeks for the wound to heal because radiation is hard on the scalp. And then it's 5 weeks of radiation with concurrent chemotherapy. And then subsequently the patient will get chemotherapy at regular intervals.
Yeah, you just did a presentation at the annual meeting of the European low-grade, is it glioma? Glioma Network. And in doing that, the focus there was the early detection. So what's the early detection from the physician's point of view?
What we're trying to look at is to determine the cost effectiveness of getting MRI scans. Mm-hmm. And we do, you know, not a full sequence of MRI, which can be expensive and time consuming, but a person could come in at periods in their life, or certainly people that are at high risk. And Senator McCain was at high risk, not necessarily for a glioblastoma, but for a metastatic melanoma, because they can frequently go to the brain. So you would get a quick scan that would help you detect early either metastases or a primary tumor. The major issue is everybody would like to have a scan, wouldn't you, just to make sure that you don't have any problem.
Yes.
But this is very much like mammography, you know, the discussion that goes on with that. I mean, how cost-effective is it? Can we afford to scan every citizen in the United States to rule out that they've got a brain tumor when, you know, the incidence, say, of glioblastomas is not really high. It's about 30,000 patients per year.
Yeah, glioblastoma. When we talk about that, and we talk about ages and whatnot, this across the board, you can see this. And he's 80 years old, but it could happen at any age, right?
Absolutely. You know, we see them in 30-year-olds, we see them in 50-year-olds, and we see them in 80-year-olds. You know, some people think that we're seeing more of them. It is a slight uptick, but part of the issue is we're all living longer. And, you know, 30 years ago, individuals died of heart disease and lung disease from too much cigarette smoke. And now we're living, and other things are creeping up.
Yeah. Wow. And this is, too, and I looked this up to make sure I was right, Dr. Stieg, but this is the same kind of brain tumor that Senator Ted Kennedy had, if I recall.
It is. Hopefully the difference is that Senator Kennedy's tumor was in an eloquent part of his brain so that they couldn't get what is called gross total excision. And that, again, has an impact on long-term prognosis for a patient, whereas Senator McCain's was in his frontal lobe. That is a more forgiving area. Hopefully they were able to be aggressive and get a complete resection.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Philip Stieg, founder and chair of the Weill Cornell Medical Brain and Spine Center, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. Good to talk with you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.